app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. President Biden is acknowledging that the U.S. is withholding the shipment of some weapons to Israel. CBS's Margaret Brennan says the president is sending a message to the Israeli government.
The Israeli military publicly downplayed the pause, but privately, CBS was told of deep frustration, including among Republicans.
This is obscene. It is absurd. Give Israel what they need to fight the war they can't afford to lose.
That was South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. Israel's ambassador to the United Nations is now reacting to President Biden's threat to stop certain arms supplies to Israel if Israel invades the crowded Gaza city of Rafah. Gilad Erdan told Israeli Public Radio, "This is a difficult and very disappointing statement to hear from a president to whom we have been grateful since the beginning of the war." Spring may bring relief from winter, but it often brings tornadoes to some states. Two people have died in Tennessee, one in North Carolina, after twisters touched down. Multiple tornadoes have struck in 8 states. CBS's Roxana Saberi is in Portage, Michigan.
So your trailer was here?
Yeah, my trailer was here.
And now?
Now it's over there, yes.
That's your trailer.
Gerald Brooks says he survived by hiding in his closet.
I just said a couple prayers and just curled up in a ball. It's probably about 10 seconds that I was in the air.
What do you think if you weren't in the closet?
I don't think I would have been here.
A whistleblower who alerted Boeing to safety concerns at the Boeing spinoff Spirit AeroSystems is now speaking to CBS News. Spirit makes plane fuselages at its massive plant in Wichita, Kansas. CBS's Chris Van Cleve has the story of Santiago Paredes, a former Spirit assembly line inspector.
Knowing what I know about the 737, it makes me very uncomfortable when I fly in one of them.
Spirit declined our request for an interview, but in a statement says the claims against the company in that shareholder lawsuit are unfounded, and it remains committed to addressing concerns and continuously improving workplace safety standards.
The Olympic flame has now arrived in France.
150,000 people gathered at the Old Port in Marseille to welcome the Olympic flame after it traveled by sea from Greece. The torch relay through France will take in nearly 500 cities and towns and some famous sites before arriving in the capital for the July 26th opening ceremony. Elaine Cobb, CBS News, Paris.
Thousands of American Taylor Swift fans have been buying tickets to see her in Europe. She's beginning an 18-city Europe tour on Thursday. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about It's a Mystery, Even to Me. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden in Wisconsin Wednesday touting Microsoft's new investment and his own economic record in Racine. President reminding voters Donald Trump and Foxconn promised 13,000 new jobs in the area, but never delivered.
3,500 total jobs left Wisconsin during my predecessor's term, but that's not on my watch.
Biden says he's created more jobs than Trump and nearly $1 trillion in private sector investment across the country. Vice President Kamala Harris returns to Wisconsin next week. It will be her fourth visit to Wisconsin this year. Harris plans to be in Milwaukee a week from tomorrow to call attention to the administration's efforts to boost the economy with steps like student loan debt forgiveness and support for education. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The crew is coming home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers wrapping up a road trip. They open a 4-game set tomorrow against the St. Louis Cardinals at American Family Field in Milwaukee. The Brewers losing to the Royals 6-4 on Wednesday. Tuesday night, the Brewers with a dramatic come-from-behind win last night when Willie Adames comes up with a 3-run homer, a called shot in front of Royals fans to win 6-5 in KC. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, that's playing all nine. When you play all nine, you got a chance every pitch. And it came down to the last pitch. I mean, it was like, did I just see that? It was a cool moment.
NFL, the Packers' regular season schedule, not to be released now until sometime next week, maybe Wednesday, May 15th. The Packers hoping to improve even more on offense.
You're always, always looking to take the next step. You have to keep evolving, and so it's just a matter of what's our best next step.
That's Packers offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any shower chance that we have between now and Thursday afternoon will be very isolated. Generally, mostly cloudy skies in the overnight with lows in the mid-40s and east to northeast breeze. Thursday, those clouds and showers, highs in the lower 60s. It's 53 at our studios.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On the next show, Turtle Knight from the Turtleton joins us to talk about the painted pianos that are coming to downtown Green Bay.
Then Sean Lynch from Winnebago Bicycle in Oshkosh will tell us about a fun event they have coming up.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us. You can always join the show if you want to call. You can text, same number, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very busy show coming up today. Looking forward to having Deborah Cronmiller back on the show. She is with the League of Women Voters in Wisconsin. And we want to talk about this latest lawsuit that has been filed, trying to make it harder for some people to vote, essentially.
Yeah.
And other questions. I want to address some of the fallacies with Deb about the security of drop boxes, the security of mail-in voting, the security of absentee ballot, you know, sending in an absentee ballot. I just think that there's a lot of misinformation about how these systems work and how they're policed.
Yeah. I think that a great person you can also ask about absentee ballots, banking your vote, Brian Schimming of the Wisconsin GOP. He loves it.
He does.
He loves it.
Vote early.
Vote once.
Yeah, not often.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Wednesdays at 11:33, we are joined by Dr. Laura Hanks for public service announcement. And apparently, if you live in Dane County and you're a parent, you might know about this already, but it seems there is a bit of a lice outbreak among some school children. So we're gonna talk about that. And if you have any questions for Dr. Hanks, you can always email them, send them to janesays@civicmedia.us. Speaking of, we got an email yesterday. We talked to Kip Adams on Monday from the National Deer Association about car deer crashes.
Correct.
And Wisconsin is like fifth in the country for the number of deer car crashes that we have.
Yeah.
And we got an email from a nice listener named Tim, who is a professional truck driver, long haul truck driver.
Yep.
And he just had an experience with a deer.
And what did he say to you in the email exchange? How long has he been driving truck?
He said he's been driving truck for 30 years. He has never collided with a deer until he listened to the program on Monday with Kip Adams talking about people crashing into deer.
And folks, the pictures were not pretty.
No, he sent us photos. Yeah. I mean, my God, you could see the fur in the window.
He's bleeding.
Yeah,
he's...
he was bleeding. And so he said that we can share this email. And
we didn't do this, folks. This wasn't our doing.
That was not the goal ever of that segment. So and then there's a bear in them there woods. That's coming up next hour as well.
Up in the hills.
Yep. There's a bear in those hills. So stay tuned for that. I want to start out, though. Of course, President Biden is coming to Racine today.
Yes.
Our very own news reporter, Stuart J. Waddles, is going to be there as President Biden stops to talk about the former Foxconn facility. Remember, Greg, how great that was going to be? Foxconn was going to be life-changing and bring all of these family, like, how many thousands of jobs?
Thousands? I mean, it was 13,000.
13,000 family-supporting jobs.
With a median income of $73,000.
How'd that work out?
Well, that was announced in June of 2018, almost a year ago. Almost 6 years ago.
Yep.
It has gone from 13,000 jobs to about 500 jobs. The economic impact has shrunk very, very little. And the really good pay scale has gone between $15 to $20 an hour, which
that's not terrible.
For some people, $15 to $20 an hour is great. But when you're looking at $73,000 as the median income of the employees, that's far below expectations. And there's tons of land not being used. They did more construction on the freeway after that freeway had just been
finished,
redone.
Yep.
For their driverless truck. We invested a lot. And when I say we, folks, I'm not talking about anybody but me and you, the taxpayers, because we gave them tax break upon tax break, and they left us holding an empty bucket. Nothing to show for it.
Just think back to that picture of the gold shovels.
Yes.
Going into the ground former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker and former President Trump. And this was going to be the eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah, I don't understand why he said that. That was a very weird thing to say out loud. When we talk about the Taj Mahal, the Eiffel Tower, and Foxconn in Racine, Wisconsin, how else does it get better?
I just remember talking to some colleagues at the time when this first started bubbling around, and I did point out that Foxconn had this great reputation in overseas. Yeah. They had to put up nets on the top of their buildings mm-hmm. to stop their employees from committing suicide by jumping off the building.
Yeah.
That's, you can look it up.
No, absolutely. That was the thing. They are known in countries with far less lower worker standards, taking advantage. I mean, and they were jumping out of the windows of like facilities they lived in. They lived in the buildings they worked in. They were basically living, working in buildings, working 6 days a week
yeah.
for very little pay, doing backbreaking work, ruining their fingers, doing like tiny work with phones and all that. The fact that they came to Wisconsin, I said this to you before we got on the air today, and I said it on Pat's show because we talked about it briefly as well. Before the shovels went in, let me rephrase that. Before the golden shovels went in the ground, people were saying, this is not good. This will not be what you
said. Why are you trusting them?
Yep. Why are you giving them tax breaks? This is not going to help us. They're going to end up hosing the state. And they did.
Yes.
And so now today, with all that being said, it's just to tell you that President Biden, along with our very own Governor Tony Evers, will be back on that site, which has been bought. Portions of it have been bought up by Microsoft.
Yep.
And they're going to be installing data centers.
President Biden today will announce Microsoft will invest $3.3 billion. The tech giant estimates will create 2,300 union construction jobs and 2,000 permanent jobs. The project is part of President Biden's Investing in America agenda that has focused on bringing billions of private sector dollars into manufacturing and industries like clean energy and AI.
It's, you know, Pat earlier on his show Up North News Radio talked about the idea of a split screen. And I just kept thinking about that split screen, the idea of Scott Walker and the former president digging into the ground and giving us essentially nothing.
Lots of empty promises.
Lots of empty promises. No jobs to be had. You know, Racinians and Kenoshians. Kenoshians.
A Kenoshian.
Yeah. There was excitement there. And then it was quickly dashed. 6 years almost to the day later, they're back in Racine. They're going to probably put another couple shovels in the ground. Yep. And there's a promise there from a company that's reputable in America. An American company wants to hire Americans to work to build it. And we'll hopefully probably hire more Americans to work in it.
It's also my understanding that Microsoft has very few buildings with nets on the top of their buildings.
Almost none. And
I think that's a safe thing to say.
And if they do, it's just in Seattle when fish jump out of the ocean and
it's
the lakes.
Spawning.
Exactly. They catch the fish. So
Sharky from Racine is on the line. Good morning, Sharky. Thanks so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Top of the morning, and thanks for your programming. I tell you what, I've been very close to this as far as the locations to the south of me. It's probably six swings with a one iron, and I think I can make it. So on days that I'm bored, I said, holy moly, What I do is I play with the security people. What they do is you always, if you're parked on the, the public areas of the factory, they are so tight on security, like I've never seen, and I'm not used to it because I'm in Mount Pleasant.
Right.
But sometimes I'll park my car and maybe I'll take a few pictures of robins, and then they come up, want to talk to me, and then I move and I move around, and that's what I do for fun. That, you know, that's pathetic, but I'm just enjoying that.
It reminds me of Erin Brockovich when she's taking water samples from PG&E wells and the security guys come and chase her off.
Yeah.
I just don't get in trouble, Sharky.
Yeah.
Don't start anything. And enjoy your pictures of robins. That's great. And thank you for listening. As always, really appreciate it. You can always join the conversation too at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. President Biden expected to start speaking about 11:45. That can change,
yeah,
obviously, depending upon what time Air Force One lands and all that stuff. So Stuart J. Waddles with our news department is going to be there, and he will be checking in. And then I believe the most of the coverage will be after noon, after the noon news with Todd Alba.
Correct, yes.
From noon to 2 p.m. But this is great news.
I think it's just another piece of good news from the infrastructure plan. It's good news. Here's the thing is, it's good news for all this. And what I'm about to say, I absolutely said out loud in 2018 when it happened. If Foxconn would have worked out, if they would have given us the jobs, the economic income and the economic impact specifically, all the things they were promised to us or at least projected for us, I absolutely would have said, thank you, Scott Walker. Thank you, Donald Trump, because that is something that did work. Unfortunately, we knew it wasn't going to work because of the track record. And I didn't get to say that. And I kind of like saying that because then we're like, this is not about sides or parties. This is about helping everyone.
Yes.
And right now it's about helping people in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Get jobs. Build that tax base. It's good stuff. And if you can't, and to me, then going back to the split screen idea, if you see June of 2018 to May of today, the differences, they're huge. They're not the same. It's not the lesser of two evils. It's one person who wants to build this country and one person who literally wants to tear it apart.
At the time, then President Trump took credit for negotiating the Foxconn deal. I'd see Terry and say, you've got to give us one of these massive places, Trump said. If I didn't get elected, he definitely wouldn't be spending $10 billion.
Sure, dude. Okay, bro. Yep, you did it. Good job, buddy.
Microsoft will work with Gateway to develop a data center academy to train 1,000 workers across the state for the data center and science and technology roles. By 2030, we'll also expand the Girls in STEM program. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very important.
Which is wonderful.
Yes.
So we will be keeping you updated on President Biden's visit to Racine. That's coming up a little bit later on this morning. When we return, there's a new report out about January 6th and why it took hours to get help to the Capitol Police. I think it's very important.
Yes, it is.
So if you can't stay close, you're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. So, for Matt Nair on Air.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We're going to have policy arguments for the rest of time. But at base, I want my president to be a decent person. I firmly believe that Joe Biden always is trying to do the right thing, that he is a decent man. And in sharp contrast, we've got a man who thinks it's a good thing that stars get to commit sexual assault. And we know that because he said it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Kellen on the board. Ready to take your calls at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were talking before the break. President Biden is coming to Wisconsin today. He's going to be in Racine to talk about this big investment that Microsoft is making at the former Foxconn site. And it's 2,300 union construction jobs and 2,000 permanent jobs.
Yes.
And which is what this facility is going to bring.
And we had a comment on the live stream from Brandon, who's always very vocal. Great stuff. He's commenting or contributing. What's good for the middle class when the middle class is lifted up, it brings everyone.
Yep.
And that's true. It's there's a lot of us.
From the middle in and right? Yeah. And the bottom up.
Yep.
Forget about trickle down, my friends. That doesn't work.
Yep.
We've been waiting for trickle down to work for about 40 years.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting. Also, from Tom from LA texting in, never forget Wisconsinites, where the guy from Foxconn said the people of Wisconsin should be saying, thank you, Mr. Foxconn.
Hey, my name is Bob Foxconn. I'm a Foxconn. I like to build things. Don't talk about the Nets, please. It's a sore subject.
Yeah, it makes us. That makes us a little
twitchy. But my name is Bob Foxconn. I'm from the South Side of Chicago.
Okay, we're going to talk about this article from Luke Broadwater in the New York Times that was published yesterday, and we will include this in the show notes. There has been so much, again, misinformation about who was responsible for the delay in getting help to the Capitol, to the D.C. police,
yes,
on January 6th. And Luke Broadwater has this really extensive article, and it's not good.
No.
The commander, as the mob was attacking the Capitol on January 6th, commanders and members of the D.C. National Guard waited for hours to help put down the riot. The then commander of the D.C. Guard, General William Walker, turned to his colleagues at one point and openly contemplated defying the chain of command and instead sending the troops in immediately.
Which, when you think about it, you're like, why didn't you just do it? But also there's heavy implications.
Big ramifications, yeah, if you disobey an order.
Yeah.
Quote, if I could send them right now without being fired, I would send them right now. So there was a miscommunication between Christopher Miller, the then Secretary of Defense, because Trump had just fired Mark Esper, mm-hmm, and Ryan McCarthy, the Secretary of the Army, who had been in that role for a whole 72 days before January 6th. Apparently, one of these two men had a discussion. We need to contact the general and tell him it's a go. And according to this article, it sounds like both of them thought the other one was going to do that, and nobody followed up.
That's...
In fact, instead of giving the order, this Ryan McCarthy, a whole 72 days in, made a series of phone calls to lawmakers and members of the media and drew up never-implemented plans for the deployment of the National Guard.
He drew up plans but never did it.
Never submitted them. Never did anything with them. It was only through chance, hours later, that this command, you're a go, actually made it to General Walker. A colleague had heard there was an order on high to deploy. He was surprised to see the general still waiting there at 5.09 p.m. Don't forget, this all started about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes.
This went on for hours. More than 3 years after the riots, again, according to this article in the New York Times, a clearer picture emerging. of one of its enduring mysteries, why the hours-long delay. They were only 2 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they were several states away. So they recently conducted interviews with General Dean and three other former members of the Guard. These closed-door interviews have now been released. Again, it was this miscommunication between Christopher Miller and Ryan McCarthy. And no one followed up on that. They could see it on television, what was happening.
They were getting probably reports by the minute on it. So the fact that, did they look at each other and go, you got this? You got this? No.
But they never even checked with each other.
Yeah.
General Dean said in recent testimony, quote, if the Secretary of the Army, the Secretary of Defense, or the President had said go, we would have been there much faster.
Yeah. This story speaks to the narrative, I believe, of the changing definition of what those individuals were. So when they were waiting to be deployed, they wanted to take care of people who were attacking the building, attacking our country, and trying to...
And the Capitol Police.
The Capitol Police, but also prolong, if not try to overthrow, the voting process. So if those individuals were going after them to protect our democracy, this notion of they are hostages and they are patriots and they are misunderstood is crazy to me. Because they were seen as a threat by the highest level of the military.
General Dean testified that on January 6th, General Walker, again, who was the one who needed to issue the command that they were go, General Walker called McCarthy three times to deploy the Guard. He was either brushed aside or his calls went to voicemail. Think about that.
It seriously, it leaves me speechless.
General Dean also talked about a call at 2:30, top military brass pushing back on calls to deploy the Guard because they were worried about optics. General Charles Flynn, Mike Flynn's brother, then a deputy army chief of staff, apparently not concerned.
No.
This is to clarify, Nancy Pelosi never had the authority to call the National Guard, which is the narrative that has been pushed by some, that it was her fault. That's not how it works.
No, I don't believe that the Speaker of the House has the authority to do that, unless the President and the Vice President are incapable of doing the job, if I'm not mistaken. But still, this was Trump not wanting to do anything. This was his lackeys not wanting to do anything. And him enjoying it, too.
And watching it for hours.
Watching it for hours and being excited about it. So these aren't hostages. These aren't patriots.
No,
they're
not.
These are traitors. They committed a crime, and they should be held in jail for as long as justice will allow. And this kind of information just shows that there were people out there who were concerned with our democracy and concerned with upholding the processes. And we're going to put themselves in harm's way. And they were held back from doing so for just like idiot reasons too. Like, oh, I didn't check with you. I thought you did it. Didn't you do it?
I don't necessarily buy that. I think this was intentional. That's just me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I highly encourage you. We will put this in the show notes. And you're wondering, where do I find said show notes? Go to civicmedia.us. Click on Matt Nair on Air. Every episode is listed. It's hour by hour.
Yeah.
And then within those notes about that hour, you'll find links.
Yeah. You can also subscribe to the show as a podcast. And when it delivers to your phone as a podcast, those links will be there in the show notes as well. No, just download the show.
We would appreciate
that. We'd love it. And review us.
We would love that. All right. News is coming up next. And when we return, we're talking voting with the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. Deborah Cronmiller is joining us. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. CBS News Brief. Two people have died after tornadoes touched down in Tennessee. WTBF-TV reporter Hunter Hoagland is in Maury County.
This has been an area that has had widespread damage and certainly caused a lot of concern. We are standing in the area where a lot of first responders are staged right now, really being dispersed in about every direction.
Severe storms, including tornadoes, pummeled parts of the central and southeast U.S. Israeli women gathered in Tel Aviv to demand the release of hostages being held by Hamas.
Like a water coaster. It's really, really emotional and ups and downs, and it gets worse and harder every day.
Los Angeles Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter will plead guilty to bank and tax fraud. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The interpreter impersonated Ohtani in one of the many banks the baseball star did his banking, changing email addresses and login information.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A federal appeals court is clearing the way for a high-voltage power line through a nature refuge in southwest Wisconsin. Conservation groups sued to try to stop the line from Dubuque to Middleton. About a mile of it would cross the Upper Mississippi River National Wildlife and Fish Refuge near Cassville. Democrats say Republicans are playing games with millions of dollars for PFAS cleanup statewide and health care in the Chippewa Valley. Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein.
It means that communities from Peshtigo to French Island are still waiting to help clean up their water. And it means that more people won't be getting the health care services they need.
The Joint Finance Committee Tuesday did approve spending $36 million in opioid settlement money. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The Bruce Springsteen movie project Deliver Me From Nowhere is picking up steam. Jeremy Allen White will play the boss, and Jeremy Strong is in talks to play the man behind the boss, manager John Landau. The film is centered around the making of Springsteen's 1982 critically acclaimed album Nebraska. The film is being adapted from the book Deliver Me From Nowhere, The Making of Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska by Warren Zanes. Jeremy Strong is best known for playing Sebastian Roy in the HBO hit Succession. Shaquille O'Neal raised some eyebrows when he posted a message on Instagram saying, "I understand. I wouldn't have been in love with me either. Wishing you all the best. All love, Shaq." Social media speculators were out in force, saying it was probably in response to his ex-wife, Shawnee Henderson's new memoir. Shaq and Shawnee have four children together. "I promise you, I tried really hard to make a free throw joke here, but it just didn't fit. Hang in there, Shaq." For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any shower chance that we have between now and Thursday afternoon will be very isolated. Generally mostly cloudy skies in the overnight with lows in the mid-40s and east to northeast breeze. Thursday, those clouds and showers, highs in the lower 60s. Right now, it's 51.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, "Hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation?" So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
So I have super parallel parking skills. And on the east side where I live, I will often sit on my front porch and like a play-by-play call as if it was a sport. Parallel parking to me is a sport. I'm the Stephen A. Smith of parallel parking. That should go on a t-shirt.
We'll get you one made.
Oh my gosh.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese for National Lost Sock Memorial Day and talk to a longstanding Wisconsin sock maker. Paul Noonan with sports, Brittany Merlot with weather and wine. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board. You can always join the conversation, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, just a reminder to head over to our website, civicmedia.us. We have merch. You can buy a t-shirt, you can buy a Civic Media shirt, you can buy a WAUK shirt, which we would highly recommend.
Yes.
And a snappy Civic Media hat. Yeah. So check out the merch, civicmedia.us. Very excited to have our next guest join us. And you did this really last minute. I appreciate it. Deb Cronmiller is the Executive Director for the League of Women Voters Wisconsin. Good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fabulous. Thank you for having me today.
Well, it's just so important, Deborah, because there still remain so many questions and so many falsehoods about election fraud and what's happening with that. And so I'd like to try and clarify some of this so we all understand what's actually going on, as opposed to something you heard from your cousin whose boyfriend saw someone cheat. So the Public Interest Legal Foundation, or PILF, is asking a federal judge to declare that Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Administrator Megan Wolf violated the federal National Voter Registration Act because the agency charges for its voter registration list and doesn't include voters' dates of birth. So what does this mean?
Well, I think it is a poor proposition to begin with. The Elections Commission is in compliance with all of our own state statutes with regard to the availability of our polling lists. We have a process here in Wisconsin for how you can get access to polling information. And unlike other states, there is a charge in Wisconsin for that information. And, so organizations even like the League has to pay to access information if we want voter information, specific voter information.
So it even applies to your organization.
Sure. And we work in coalition with others who like also to access the information. So, and then if one of us pays the fee and then we're allowed to all of us access the information, but the fee has to be paid. That is the Wisconsin process. And I don't believe that charging a lesser fee or a greater fee is going to change that process. You just have to kind of walk the walk when you're wanting to get voter information.
So Deborah, why is Wisconsin kind of an outlier? Are there other states that follow this same rule that we do and then others that don't?
There are states that make the information available at no cost, and then there are states that make the information available at a cost. Our cost is on the relatively high end of the spectrum, but it's not the highest in the United States. There are some states that charge in the hundreds of dollars or low thousands. $12,000 is about what Wisconsin is charging. And the Wisconsin Elections Commission uses these fees that are charged to users of the list information to help offset their operating costs. And so it's a source of revenue for the state of Wisconsin and the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
And we talked about this. And while I'm all for transparency, I don't want anything being held in the way of voting. I do agree it's Wisconsin's law, so therefore we should adhere to it. And usually these groups generally have the money to get these kinds of lists if they really, really want them. But the group that's suing doesn't have a track record for protecting votes. They're not in the interest of saying, like, we need to make the voting process more secure and easier. It's essentially for helping to get people thrown off voter rolls.
That's our belief as well, that this is kind of not well-intended. Yeah. Our legislature, as you probably are aware from the last session, they did actually pass a bill in the two chambers to lower the cost, but the governor vetoed that at the behest of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, somewhat because they use these fees to help offset their costs, and there wasn't a legislatively guaranteed counterbalance to what what would fill that gap for the Wisconsin Elections Commission. We know that this Wisconsin Elections Commission is, you know, the pivotal organization in really overseeing the our elections in Wisconsin. And so to underfund them or to not have the sources of funds that they have available to them now doesn't make any sense at all. And I believe that's why the governor vetoed that piece of legislation.
Well, it almost feels like there are some who would like to make sure that our elections are not run smoothly and quickly and getting people in and out in a timely manner in order to just kind of muck up the process and discourage people that way. It's too much of a hassle to vote. I'm not going to go vote. I don't want to stand in line for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And we had you on before, Deborah, talking about the two constitutional amendments that just passed after the election and what that's going to mean as far as not giving any of these election officials anywhere in Wisconsin any additional funding.
Yeah, and we were saddened, of course, to see that that amendment passed and that election officials' hands are now somewhat tied from accepting grant dollars or other sources of revenue that is not government sources of revenue, especially in the light of the fact that our government, both federal and state, is not stepping up to the plate to say, oh, we'll fill in the hole for you. We'll make sure that you are able to have all the polling places that you've historically had, have all the poll workers that you've historically have, be able to buy new equipment when yours becomes antiquated. There are no guarantees right now how our local elections officials are going to actually do the same quality job that they have always done because they could accept these important grant resources. And that will, I know that we've had some municipalities who kind of before the April election tried to bring in as much new grant money as they could to ready themselves, at least for the next couple of years, to ensure that they had up-to-date quality equipment, that they had the resources that they need to stand up our elections.
Our guest is Deborah Cronmiller. She is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. Deborah, if they have enough money, hopefully for 2024, but there's still the possibility that we could end up with fewer polling places in the November election, right?
I don't, my crystal ball is fuzzy, Jane. But
it's purely speculative, but that could happen.
That could happen. You know, we are working with clerks, as we always have, to ensure that they have enough poll workers, to ensure that they have the resources, human resources that they need to do early voting, to do same election day voting. But we don't know, and we haven't seen yet, the clerks haven't had to declare all their polling places yet. So we're not certain if they will declare fewer polling sites as a cost-containing strategy. We're hopeful not.
We also, I don't want to pile on all the hardships, but let us also not forget, and we talked about this even yesterday, that the Assembly passed a bipartisan bill to make it possible for bigger municipalities to start counting those absentee votes earlier so they just weren't mucked down for days. And it didn't pass. It didn't even get brought up in the Senate, and it died in the Assembly. And so now we not only if we have less polling places, you're going to have longer wait times on results because those municipalities, those wards in Milwaukee and Madison and other larger places are going to be counting the votes, all of them, from the moment the polls close and they start setting up for that. So it just all of these mechanisms they're trying to quote unquote make our elections more secure just seems it's making it harder to vote in the face of an election that's not insecure.
And I think that the primary messaging around our elections is they are safe, secure, accountable. We have a paper trail for every ballot that is cast in this state. We can recount elections at the drop of a hat, essentially. So we know that we have a high level of integrity in our election processes. The you know, and as far as counting absentee ballots, you know, you never do know how many absentee ballots are going to be submitted in any election. You know, during the COVID pandemic, early stages, we had 70% of the ballots were absentee ballots because people were just afraid. You know, that's come way down now. We're still higher than we were pre-COVID, but, you know, 30, 40%. And big cities like Milwaukee actually use a central count location. And that process has been streamlined. And, you know, as we saw in our previous couple of election cycles, you know, Milwaukee is actually not, you know, submitting their absentee vote data the next day. You know, it's coming later in the evening, but it's still coming, you know, very proximate to the time that the election polling places close at 8 p.m. In Madison, however, our other major metro, absentee ballots are counted at the polling places. So they move from the clerk's office to the polling place, but that counting starts at 7 a.m. when that polling place opens at the availability. And so again, hopefully poll workers can be working on that all day. So the lag between getting the results and when people want the result, which, you know, it's unrealistic to believe the result's going to come in 5 minutes after the polling place is closed.
Right.
But, you know, that it is at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock and not, you know, the following morning at 10 a.m. or something of that nature.
But I think, too, that just helps feed the narrative of ballot dumps in the middle of the night and we don't know where they're coming from. And that's just not how it works at this.
We exactly know where they're coming from.
I mean, there are multiple double checks of these things. It's not like, oh, Ralph submitted his ballot and he, you know, it's all good. It doesn't work that way.
And we have to keep in mind that all of our election results, what is reported on election night is not the final certified result. That's what the, you know, polling workers reported. That's what they got off of their strip from their tabulator. But that result will be counted again at the municipal level, will be counted again at the county level, and ultimately the WEC will have to certify that result. So there are three levels of checks and balance. And so it's not just a
one
willy
and done.
Nilly.
I was going to say willy nilly. That's the professional term. It's not done willy nilly.
We have a lot of statutes that govern how our elections are administered. So
but also we need to remember, because of that constitutional amendment added in Wisconsin in the last election, it now we need to define what really means by election official. And also the ability for people to stand 2 feet away from you while you're voting. I mean, there are all these different measures now that are coming that are just trying to at least make voting seem inconvenient. And so that's the thing that League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is doing to make sure that we keep things transparent. We make sure, as you said, Deborah, the elections are secure and they're solid. And that's even agreed upon by our Republican Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, who said it in print, that is safe and secure. Let's move on.
We're going to continue this conversation with Deborah Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters, Wisconsin. If you have a question or a comment, 855-752-4842. Charles and Cindy, I see you on the line. Please stay with us and stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio. Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah, it's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to ruin. Deb Kronmiller, the executive director of the League of Women Voters Wisconsin, is our guest. We're just talking about voting and secure elections and all things like that. Charles from Green Bay has been waiting very patiently. Good morning, Charles. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Hey, Jane and Deb, the question I've got for you is this. My wife and I do mail-in ballots, and the last primary, we mailed them in a timely manner. We actually mailed them at the post office. Our vote was not registered when we went to look at it on the computer.
Is that a failure? Is that
after the election?
That's interesting, Charles. Deb, do you think that's a failure of the Postal Service?
Yes, I do. There was a time when I think that USPS made it a high priority to ensure that every single ballot was delivered timely. I don't believe that is a continuing priority of USPS, and I'm not basing that on statistical evidence or data, but we've heard this complaint. The best I can tell you is that on the myvote.wi.gov website, once your absentee ballot has been issued by your clerk, it starts a string of communications to you, the voter, and you can see when it was mailed to you. And then you can also track when it has been received by your clerk. If election day rolls around and you have not received your ballot, and you can show your poll worker that, we do believe there's a way that you could spoil your absentee ballot so that a ballot, but you would have to go to your polling
place. You'd have to go
in order to cast a ballot that on election day. And that's not convenient for everybody. And that's why many people who use absentee ballots. They're not going to be in town on election day.
Right.
They can't get to the polling place easily. You know, whatever obstacle motivated them to use the absentee ballot in the first place may make it impossible for them to get to their polling place on election day. But this is a sad reality. And luckily, the league tracks, you know, from the day absentee ballots start dropping into the market, you can see how many ballots on the WEC's website. You can see statistically how many clerks have sent from every municipality. And then on a daily basis, they track back to the WEC how many are returned. So as the time of the election cycle, it gets closer and closer to election day, you know, the preponderance of absentee ballots are returned by election day. Some are not.
And to me, that's just more evidence, though, Deborah, that there is a chain of command to these things. It's not, you know, there is a paper trail for what happens with all of these pieces of paper. They don't just get passed around by hand or one person marks it off and you're done. That's not how it works. Good heavens, you go and vote at the polls, you already have two people there just checking your address.
Yeah.
So the actual ballot itself is going to have that much, if not more, security. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Cindy, my cynical soul sister, how are you? What does you want to say?
Good. Well, I have a few things, and I actually am a League member here in Appleton. And I want to give credit to the League of Women Voters for trying to get out as much educational information about those two referendums on the last ballot as possible. Unfortunately, it didn't reach enough people because these nasty things passed. And my other concern is the 11th hour of the Republicans pulling a stunt to file a lawsuit against the map. So I'm very concerned about this election, not only with this new referendum that passed and the possibility of a lawsuit to stifle the map. So
I appreciate that, Cindy. Thank you so very much. Appreciate you calling. Always appreciate you listening.
And we actually, I think the League has been at the forefront of trying to provide good, solid, truthful voter information. You know, we're saddened to see certain lawsuits that are coming into the court systems, the, you know, not the least of which is the one by the Public Interest Legal Foundation now. But there's been other challenges in court to process, to you know, to what we know is the underlying security of elections, and causing confusion or chaos as it gets closer and closer to elections is not in anyone's best interest. You know, our democracy functions because we all know what the rules are. We all have been bestowed with the right to be able to vote to elect our representatives, and that those representatives should be our spokesperson. They represent our values. And unfortunately, what we have seen with the gerrymandered maps is that our representatives weren't responding, you know, legitimately to their voters, but rather were responding more to their donors, to their parties. And we're thrilled now that the governor has enacted what seemed to be a much fairer set of maps, more contiguous, more sensically drawn with regard to, you know, you don't have the salamander kind of thing going on. And
no islands.
No islands. Right. And so we're very hopeful that, you know, given that new development in the state of Wisconsin, a legislature will be seated that will represent Wisconsinites. And so many of the things that Wisconsin has been begging for, you know, medical marijuana, the expansion of Medicaid, public school funding, yeah, for gosh darn sakes, yeah, you know, these are things that can come back. And the same things that made Wisconsin so strong and such a leader in government best practices, hopefully those will all come back.
Always so wonderful having you here. Deborah Cronmill, the executive director, executive director of the League of Women Voters in Wisconsin. In the minute we have left, Deborah, where can people go get involved and find out more about the League?
Well, you can always join the League at lwvwi.org, a local league. You can join at the state level, but we are out advocating. There's a lot of work to be done before the August primary and the November general election. So we really are hopeful.
We'll get that link in our show notes. Deborah Cronmiller, League of Women Voters, Wisconsin. Thank you so very, very much for your time, Deborah. News is coming up next. Stay close.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian, actor, and Wisconsin native Eric Price, and the group Onstage for Cancer stops by to perform live in the studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
The morning show on WFHR. It's delicious.
Peanut butter and jelly should be squidgy.
Oh, I know a lot of people. Yeah.
On good squidgy white bread.
Yeah.
It's the way it's got to be.
My sister felt the same way. It's got to be the middle, especially for her, had to be just a mush.
You guys, as fascinating as this conversation is, one very big thing you just missed there. Melissa just said the word squidgy on the air.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, she did.
I mean, what the what?
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on WFHR.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.